Now, I could describe to you who I am by making some I am statements. I am Mark Fugate. I am a son. I am a brother. I am a father. I am a husband. I am a preacher. I am a Bengals fan, as all God's believers should be. And I could try and describe to you who I really am. So when it comes to knowing who Jesus is, those I am statements work as well. And his best friend described him with 7 I ams. And I decided in my own personal study, I've been reading these, I'm going to preach on one of these. It was kind of luck of the draw, the one I ended on, but I want to show y'all 7 and tell you the one I almost used. John wrote, I am the bread of life, or about Jesus, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I am the true vine, and I am the door, or the gate, depending on your translation. So I decided to pick I am the door to talk to you about today. What an exclusive claim that is. I almost went with the good shepherd, but then I realized a couple of years ago I did Psalm 23 and we talked about misheard lyrics, and I covered the shepherd and the sheep then. But I did find a video that describes every single person who has ever attended Hillcrest Church, and it's why the Bible calls us sheep. Check this out. Is that not perfect? That is you and I, folk, right there. Thank you, Lord. You got me out of the ditch. Can you come back here in about an hour? Because I'm going to need your help again. So I decided to go with I am the door. I love the symbolism in these descriptions Jesus gave. And I also love the source of these statements. In Hebrew, I am sounds like Yahweh. Now you say, no way, and I say, Yahweh. And in Hebrew, that's what I am sounds like. And remember when God was sending Moses to Pharaoh, and Moses is all nervous about it anyway, and he's like, Lord, if I get there, and he says, who sent you? Who do I tell him sent me to Egypt? What's your name? And God says, tell him that I am has sent you. So that was God's descriptive way of describing himself. I am. So Jesus, I am, is like father, like son, same name. I am the door. That's what I want to talk to you about today. This is the least popular, most controversial claim Jesus made. I mean, you take the whole Bible, and besides what it says about gender or marriage or sexuality, what we're covering today is probably the most hated thing that Jesus said. So let me see who I'm working with today. How many here today are okay if the preacher says something that is unpopular with the world as long as it's popular with God? Let me see your hands. All right. Here's what Jesus said. I am the door. We read it in John 10, verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. It's such a blessing to know that the God of the universe is not some mysterious voice behind the wall somewhere. He is a relational being that we can know personally, and we can actually come into his presence if we're willing to walk through the right door. I was with Buzz yesterday. My daughter and Jasmine's birthday was yesterday. I watched a soccer match with Hudson, my 8-9-year-old grandson. He's a goalie, and anytime a guy got a breakaway heading towards him, I just got all worked up. And then I watched Cooper play baseball. He's 12. So we were in Indianapolis sitting outside all day. But Buzz, when she was little, I took her to a museum in Cincinnati. I think I got a picture of my beautiful daughter right there and my granddaughter. We walked into this museum. We're standing in the foyer area of the lobby of the museum. And she says, Dad, we need to get a line form. And I said, a line form? What are you talking about? And she said, I think you have to turn in right over there before you can go in. So I looked, and there was a sign that said, line forms here. And she thought that we needed a line form. Bless her heart. She's brilliant now, but she was off to a slow start. You know what I mean? But it's clear with what Jesus said, if you want to find salvation, the line forms here, right in front of this door. I would imagine some of you have been to Rome. And if you have, chances are you visited the Vatican, and St. Peter's Basilica. St. Peter's Basilica is the central spot, ground zero for Catholicism all over the world. If you're there, you can see this 16-paneled bronze door that leads to the side of the basilica. 16 bronze panels, and when I saw this picture, I thought two things. At first, I thought about the door, and then I thought, we need to have our ushers dressed like that here at Hillcrest. Now we'll never get ushers again, will we? So the door fascinated me, so I had to do some research. I kind of remember learning about this. This door has a name. It's called the Porta Sancta. And if you were to open this door, 24 out of 25 years, you'd find a brick wall right behind it. But 1 year in 25, the Pope has the wall torn down and the door is open. And you can come in and receive a plenary indulgence, meaning all your sins are forgiven. But you got to get in that door at the right time. The next time it will be opened is 2025. The wall's torn down every 25 years. Doors open. Catholics from all over the world make the journey to the Vatican to pass through the door to have their sins forgiven. Now, I studied about this door this week, and my only thought was, you know what, I already got one of those. Right? Already got one of those. And it's open, and there's no brick wall behind it. Our door is not cemented shut. It's nailed open. And in the context of John 10, Jesus says he is the door for his sheep. These shepherds back in the day, they would take these sheep out in the open pasture, and they would need somehow to box them in. So they'd gather rocks, and they'd make like a mostly filled circle, but most they would leave one opening. So you got these rocks, or they'd use a bank in the natural terrain to pen the sheep in. But they would leave the opening there where they would lay or sit in the opening all night so that nothing could get in to get the sheep and so that no sheep could get out. They laid as a gate a door for the sheep. Now, this for many people is a problem with Christianity. Sounds pretty exclusive, doesn't it? One door. Well, it is. Sounds a little bit narrow-minded, doesn't it? Well, Jesus is the one who said, I am the door. So if I share that truth with you this morning, I am only as exclusive and as narrow-minded as Jesus, and I'm okay with that. He could have said, I am one among many doors. I am one of three doors. You take your pick. No, I am the door. A new preacher had been on the job for a week out visiting homes he had never been to before, probably within 40 miles of the church, Charlie, I would guess, trying to find some church people home. And so he came to this house. He knocked on the door. Nobody answered. It was obvious somebody was home. He could hear stuff. So he knocked again. No one answered. So he left one of his calling cards from church, and he wrote Revelation 3:20 on it, stuck it in the door. Next Sunday, after the offering plates were passed, he saw his card, and one of the ushers gave it back to him, and the person who lived at that house wrote their own scripture, Genesis 3:10. Revelation 3:20 said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Genesis 3:10 said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, for I was naked. Now, you can object all you want and claim it's not fair to have only one door. And why wouldn't God give us more options and more doors to walk through so that more people could find salvation in heaven? But let me tell you some hard truth this morning. He could have put a cement wall behind that door and said, guess what, you're on your own. Are we arrogant enough to believe that God owes us more than one door? Jesus didn't have to give us any door at all. So is it exclusive? Absolutely it is. But it's the most loving thing anyone has ever done for us. So I want to be clear, so I'm going to make it a bullet point. Jesus' claim is an exclusive claim. There is no salvation apart from Jesus. There is no forgiveness of sins apart from Jesus. I hear the objections all the time. How can you say your way is the only way? It's not my way. Jesus said, I am the door, and it's a claim he could back up. You guys could have, Drew could have said, I am the door. Well, we'd have proved that wasn't true. Mike could have said, I am the door. Doug could have said, I am the door. Steve could have said, I am the door. And in time, we'd find out, no, they're not. But Jesus made the claim, I am the door, and he backed it up with the miracles that he performed, and he backed it up with his own death, and he backed it up with his resurrection. So if anyone has the right and the authority and the ability to claim, I am the door, then it's Jesus, the Son of God. Man, I get this thrown at me all the time. All religions are basically the same. No, they're not. They say fundamentally they are, but superficially they're all different. Well, that's backwards. Fundamentally, they're all different. Superficially, they're all the same. Jesus' claim disintegrates the thought that all religions are the same. This goes back to Plato and Aristotle with the law of contradiction. Two statements about the same thing that diametrically oppose one another cannot possibly both be true. And we can set all the philosophical chat aside and deal with the reality of the situation. Hinduism teaches everything is God. Christianity teaches there is one God. Islam teaches Jesus was not God and did not die for man's sins, that he's not the door. We don't believe that, do we? Christianity teaches Jesus is God and did die for each of us. He is the door, amen? Amen. Buddhism teaches that enlightenment is achieved through one's own mind or reasoning. We don't believe that. Christianity teaches enlightenment comes from the Word of God. Now, I have compassion for people who are raised in these religions. I do. I feel for the children that they've never been shown the door. And I don't have all the answers to questions about what God does with those kids who only grew up Buddhist or Muslims or Hindus. I don't know. But let me say this, church. In your compassion and love for people, do not let it diminish the validity and the truth of what Jesus said. Do you want everyone to go? I want everyone to go to heaven. Of course I do. And I want to think that God will show compassion and have grace and mercy on kids who were never shown the door that I was shown. I want to feel that way and believe that. I do. But none of my feelings or opinions or beliefs will change the truth of the Bible and the validity of what Jesus said. I am the door. You don't believe all religions are the same. You don't. I'll prove it. 1959, Vernon Wayne Howe was born. You probably never heard the name Vernon Wayne Howe. He was bright as a child. There was something about him. He just took in spiritual leanings and inspiration. By the time he was 15, he could quote the entire New Testament. You could say, what does Titus 2:5 say? And he could tell you. I mean, amazing. Then years later, he went off the rails and he stopped studying the Bible and he began to study other world religion books and memorize them. And he was convinced that God was giving him prophecies directly. And shortly after, he organized and he set up a religious group known as the Branch Davidians in Palestine, Texas, before they moved to Waco. And he started recruiting from all over the world, and Vernon Wayne Howe changed his name to David Koresh. And he started making claims that he was the Christ. And if women and young girls didn't sleep with him, then they would go to hell. So over the course of the next few years, he manipulated and he abused and he exploited countless women and children under the guise of this religious claim that he was the Christ. In 1993, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms raided his compound. Koresh barricaded all the men, now claiming the government was trying to do away with their religion and their right to practice their religion, and that if they didn't fight back, they would go to hell, which led to a 51-day standoff that we all watched on television. A fire was started. It depends on who you ask, the source of the fire. It doesn't really matter to me, the source of the fire, because no one can deny that Koresh forcibly held down women and children to burn alive, all as a part of his religious claim that he was the Christ. You don't believe all religions are the same. Nobody I know believes all religions are the same. So the question becomes, what's the right standard then? How do you get a higher standard than the Son of God who says, I am the door? You know what our problem is? We go to Golden Corral, and we can choose chicken or pork or roast beef or 47 different flavors of salad dressing. or why, unbeknownst to me, some of you would go to Asian Pearl for lunch. And you can choose just about any kind of animal you want. Roadkill. That red mouse on a stick, whatever that thing is. Then you go to Jiffy Treat. And they got blizzards with toppings I never even heard of. I think they're inventing new toppings even today. And then you stuff yourself and you go home and you become a vegetable yourself. And you're a couch potato as you pick up the remote. And you scan through channels you're never, ever going to watch and shows you've never even heard of. And what happens? We've gone from choosing items in a buffet and choosing ice cream to choosing sexual orientation and choosing gender. And the choices won't stop, y'all. They're going to get worse. Because we value our own right to choose whatever it is we want to do and whatever it is we want to be. And we've lulled ourselves into thinking that whatever choice we make is right and valid, even if it's completely wrong. Now, if it's a choice between pork and chicken, okay. But if you want the forgiveness of your sins, and if you want the hope of heaven, and if you want eternity of happiness and peace and glory, you can't go through just any door. You have to go through the door. Jesus said, I am the door. How many of you have doors in your house? I'm not asking it right. Anybody here have a house with no doors? Somebody said, well, I live in my car. Well, you still got doors. Everybody's got doors. I want you to think about two words when it comes to the doors in your house. The words are only and any. All right? Only and any. Doors are simultaneously exclusive and inclusive. If you want to get to a room in your house that has a door, the only way to get into that room is through that door. That's exclusive. But get this. Anyone in your house who goes through that door gets into the room. That's inclusive. So it's only that door, which is exclusive, but anybody can pass through that door, which is completely inclusive. In some religions, it's preferable that you be a certain race or ethnicity or people group for you to be close to God. In Christianity, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, slave nor free. All are welcome to pass through the bloodstained door of Jesus. In some religions, they believe you need to learn a specific language to understand God. But in Christianity, every tongue and every tribe will bow at the feet of the door, Jesus Christ. In every religion that has ever existed besides Christianity, it's only the good, moral, virtuous, righteous people that can ascend to God. In every world religion, hear me now, it's divided into two groups, the bad guys and the good guys. That's not how Christianity divides it. Do you know how we divide it? The bad guys in Jesus. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous, no, not one. If I had to get to heaven through my own personal righteousness, guess what? There is a brick wall behind that door, and it's never going to be torn down. I need another door. I did a wedding about 20 years ago. It's probably my favorite, only because of the memory. At the time, it wasn't my favorite wedding. I don't care to do weddings a lot. I got a big one coming up with Jared and Kristen, and I'm happy to participate in that. Man, oh man, through the years, I've seen some things. I married the bride who was from my part of Kentucky to a guy whose family was from Maine. And they could not have been more different. And everything would have been okay if it wasn't for Mrs. Kincaid. And I don't know her first name because she wouldn't tell anybody. She wanted you to refer to her as Mrs. Kincaid. And that's how she said it. Well, then folk from Kentucky, they can't talk. They call, hey, Miss Kincaid. And she would correct them. It's Mrs. Kincaid. And she had money, and she wanted you to know she had money, and she wanted everything in the wedding done her way, and her and I, constant tug of war through the rehearsal. Ah! Still remember it. Well, I want this. Well, I've done this 1,000 times, Mrs. Kincaid. Let me do it this way. But she wanted her way. And get this, you all know who have married off children that it's the father's responsibility to pay for the reception and the food and all that? No. Not with Mrs. Kincaid. She was going to pay for everything, and she did. All the food, and it was all there at the place we were marrying this couple. She had things that those folk from Kentucky had never seen in their lives. She had shrimp cocktail, oysters in the half shell, caviar for appetizers. If I'd have asked the bride's family, they would have said, how about frog legs and turtle soup? The whole rehearsal, the day of the wedding, everybody's caving into the demands of Mrs. Kincaid. She had these French doors that opened, and you would go into the reception hall, and she had them closed, and she had a sign, no one can enter. That was put up by Mrs. Kincaid. Can't go through these doors. Well, we got this gigantic wedding party, and so the bride and her daddy are out in the hallway on the side wing waiting to come after the pre-music, the wedding party, and they're hungry, and they saw a door on the side of the reception hall that didn't have a sign and that Mrs. Kincaid didn't know about. So while they're waiting, before they come down the aisle, I love these people. They decide, you know what, we're going to graze a little bit. So they slip into that side door, and they pop some shrimp. She's got her wedding dress on. I mean, she's ready to come down the aisle. They're eating these fancy little sausage-looking things and cheese, and they're just, because they're starving. Well, they snack, and then they get back in place, and then it's time for them to come down the aisle. As she's coming down the aisle, I can see her face. She is a ticking time bomb. She's flush. She's wobbling. She obviously didn't feel well. She gets down near the front, almost to where I need for her to be. She turns to the side, and like a bomb goes off, she upchucks in a way I've never seen a human being do it before. I mean, I don't know how to say this kind. She hosed Mrs. Kincaid. That lady, no, like she had a shrimp on top of her head. And she had to take her fingers and do the windshield wiper thing with her glasses. And everybody was in shock. I was in shock. I'd never seen anything so cool in all my life. And the mother of the bride, when she saw that no one was looking, she looked up at me. She went, hey. So I made sure nobody was looking. I was like, yeah. Mrs. Kincaid made it clear that those French doors were not open to just anyone. But the side door she didn't know about, anybody could have went through that door. The Bible gives the ultimate inclusive shout out when it tells who's invited to walk through the door. You know who it is? Whosoever will may come. Jesus is the door. You can't get more exclusive than that. Jesus is the door. You can't get more inclusive than that. It's one door, but it's open to anyone who wants to walk through it. Not everybody in our culture likes that. But you know what I've learned through the years, and I think this generation needs to hear this even more. Just because we don't like something doesn't mean it's not true, right? I think today if you don't like it, then it becomes not true. That's what's happened to society. If you don't like it, then it's not true. Well, we know better than that. A few years back when we were dealing with the COVID lockdown mess, I called my mom and dad one day, asked how they were doing, and she told me that being stuck at home helped my dad to hone his gardening skills. Well, I didn't even know he had gardening skills. I said, what do you mean? She said he planted himself in the Lazy Boy the second week of March, and he's grown significantly since. Quarantine happened. He didn't go anywhere for a while, so he never got a haircut. This will show you how my dad reasons. So his hair is longer than it's ever been, and for quite a while, he never stepped on the bathroom scales either. So at one point, he decided to weigh himself for the first time in months. You know what his only comment was? Who knew hair weighed so much? I bet for many of us, when we step on the scales, two things happen. Number one, you automatically look down, and number two, you probably don't like it. But guess what? Still true. So let me hit you with some words before I close that are being thrown around all over the place in almost every situation. And I want you to tell me if they're good words or bad words. Fair enough? Justice. Good word? It's not a trick. I'm not trying to trick you in anything. That's a great word. Justice is a good thing. It's a biblical thing. What did the prophet say that God requires of you? To do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. So it's a good word. But here's my question. Is everything that is happening in our culture and being done under the label of justice a good thing? Absolutely not. All these riots that have taken place the last several years where store owners are having their stores and their businesses and their life savings just ransacked and burned for no reason. They had nothing to do with what the people are rioting about. They're just collateral damage for ignorance. And what happens? You interview some of those rioters, and you know what they'll tell you? You know what they'll tell you? They're stealing from a random stranger who has nothing to do with why they're upset. They will tell you it's all in the name of justice. No, it's not. Justice is a good word. But I don't believe that everything being done in the name of justice is a good thing. Let me throw some others at you before I close. How about the words tolerance, inclusive, and affirming? Those are good words, church. Those are good words. But they've been hijacked. And I have a question. Is everything that you believe that is being labeled under tolerance, inclusion, and affirmation a good thing? Of course it's not. Most of you have a front door on your house. Most of you never thought of taking it down in the name of inclusion, right? Is there anybody here? And now that I know you all have doors, is there anybody here who said to your spouse or your family one day, you know what? This is too exclusive here. We need to be open to everyone. Let's take our door down. Anybody? Probably not. And I'll tell you why. When a good, loving, strong, firearm-carrying father puts a door on the front of his house, does he do that out of love or hate? Does it out of love, doesn't he? Love for his family, wants them safe, wants them protected, wants them cared for, so he puts up a door. So check this out. God is a father. Heaven is a home. We are his children. So God put up a door out of love. And Jesus is that door. That's not hateful. That's as loving as you could ever be. For our protection. Mary Ratliff's daughter Megan ran off, just left home. We did not know where she was. This was the stuff documentaries and movies are made of. 2 years later, she came back and got her life together, and Mary was asked what she did when Megan was gone. She said two things. She said, I prayed, and I kept the door unlocked. Remember that old camp song we grew up with? So high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get around it. You gotta go through at the door. Listen, I love you all, and I'm going to tell you this, and my motivation is love. You can walk through that door while you're alive. But at the moment you die, that door will be shut to you forever. Because when God opens a door, no man can shut it. And when God shuts a door, no man can open it. So my hope and my prayer is that you come to Jesus today while the door is still open. Amen?